Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory the Podcast. Had a great episode last week with Reese Coiro, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
we did. That was last week, because I never know the schedule. With Connolly is like a studio executive who determines what's going to air when. And
well, yeah, somebody has to do that,
Doug. Yeah, so we just kind of got to go with what he says. And we're going to get into some stuff, because Kevin Dillon, by the way, has probably made more movies this year than any actor in town. So
it's been a great year, man. It's been a really good year.
I think Victory the Podcast has maybe helped that a little bit. What do you think?
I think it could have.
Yeah.
Very well could have.
We had the pleasure of hosting Kevin Dillon yesterday for his press junket for his new movie.
It was a long day, dude. It was a long day. I think it was, 16 or something like that?
16 hours?
No, 16 interviews.
But oh.
It got us to thinking about the art of the press junket, which is going to be the precipice. Right,
so, yeah, I want to get into that because it is.
Which has changed as well.
I want to hear about how it's changed, and I want to hear about how important it is. And by the way, it's something that most actors despise, filmmakers despise, because it is incredibly long and repetitive, but it's absolutely necessary if you want to sell what you do.
So for people listening, the press junket is before a movie is released. You'll get your stars together, you'll get the director, and you will sit them in a room or multiple rooms over the course of a day, a couple days, depending on the size of the project, and they will spend the entire day doing interview after interview after interview after interview.
Before COVID, it used to be like you would go to a hotel, you go to the Four Seasons, whatever, and sit in a big ballroom and with lots of tables. Sometimes you would jump from table to table. Other times you would go from room to room,
right,
where they would have set up different cameras. And that's what we did on Entourage. Yeah, the Entourage movie
Sometimes they might send you over to this room or they would come to you, but it would be, they kind of try to hit as many outlets
Since COVID, though, it's changed and it's all like a Zoom.
Right. It's all Zooms.
Tons of Zooms. So I did it.
Yesterday, Kevin did 16 6-minute. So everybody was on a 6-minute clock.
Yeah, some went over a bit.
I did a little behind the scenes documentary, podcastumentary, if that's even a thing. I might have made that up.
Yeah.
That we're going to throw to at the end. So
yeah, it was a little weird having Connolly. I'm doing interviews and he's sneaking around the table with the camera and
trying to get content. Trying to get content.
Finally.
Trying to get content. Let's talk about the press junket. I mean, it is important.
I thought we were getting into other things and then getting into the press junket.
Okay, well, Doug's got other things on his mind, and then we'll talk about the press junket. What do you got?
I thought we'd talk. I mean, listen, there's been some drama behind the scenes at Action Park Media. Aside from the cash I've loaned Connolly. What do you think about that, Dylan?
I think you talk about it every episode. Literally every episode.
But when do you think I'll get it back?
We have to go.
You want to move on?
We have to move on. We could talk.
We'll talk, sir. Look at him, this muttering stuttering.
It's boring, and you do that too, and you're just so repetitive.
What
is on your mind that you want to talk about?
I'm going to talk about it, but Dylan's going to be my muscle because he's going to get that fucking money. He's going to come over and show
if I get a little.
10%. The guy just forgets.
A little percentage.
The guy has no short-term memory.
No, I remember. I just know it's the only time I can talk about it. But anyway, I want to talk about the real behind the scenes.
I'll get the money right now. I got my pocket knife.
The real behind the scenes drama at Action Park Media. So something happened. We got the girls. They got their own show here. I want to say this to this jerk off who wrote a review that basically said these girls have a podcast because they're banging the bosses. So a couple of things I need to address about that. Number one, I'm not a boss. I have nothing to do with it. Number two, just so you're clear, you ignorant motherfucker, a podcast costs about $80. You don't have to bang anybody to get a podcast at Action Park Media.
Well, not to mention, we also have kids and all that kind of stuff together.
So obviously,
it's hardly some like behind the scenes affair to get the podcast going. I mean, like, we live together.
But what I wanted to
have a baby together.
But what I wanted to say is Kevin Connolly, who is his proven track record of picking good podcasts from Bob Menery before anybody ever heard of him, who went to number one that day, to Victory, which is now somewhere near 10 million downloads with live shows heading to Australia soon, I hope. But the girls are good and they're growing. And this guy, you know, there's a guy online.
There's so many good things and you just get hung up on the one review. Who cares what that guy
says? I'm not hung up. Well, would you be hung up on this? This is what they said. This is what this guy, this is not about the girls. At 54 years old, Doug might be the most immature pothead I've ever seen. Will this guy ever leave the guys from Entourage alone and disappear? Like, literally, without social media, no one would know or care about Doug at all. I thought Entourage was bigger than my social media, but thank you for saying that. But this guy,
that was a mean thing to say, Doug. I'm hurt for you. I don't
like that. This guy debunked.
He's who is he, though? I mean, he's a
troll.
Is he working for a magazine? I mean, he's a nobody.
I got some guesses who it really is, because I know it's like a personal thing. But by the way, I am always welcome. I've offered to leave these guys alone, and I think they've gotten scared.
Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
But that was kind of a mean. That was immature. That was kind of a mean review. I was kind of annoyed at you before that. Now I kind of feel bad.
What are you annoyed for?
I'm not annoyed. That guy's a troll.
I don't, you got to ignore the bad shit. You really do. You can't.
Oh, I don't care one bit. I only care if you guys were like, listen, we have been talking and we wish you'd leave us alone. And then I'll leave, by the way. I'm not that hard to get rid of. I'm like a guy.
Doug, we have been talking.
Yeah.
So.
But Doug, I'm glad you backed me up on the entertainer girls, right? Yeah. I mean, you did back me up on, for an hour podcast, you got to come in, you do 10 minutes before.
Oh, well, let's set the stage for that because they don't know. So what happened the other day is Sarah, who Kyle, you would say is sweet, sweet, nice person, who doesn't overstay her welcome. But anyway, she calls me up. She goes, I don't know what happened, but Connelly kicked us out of the studio. And I'm like, what?
So dramatic.
What do you mean? But then I dive a little deeper and I find out the entertainer girls, which Dylan, they've also gotten Dylan to work for free for
them. They got your voiceover introducing segments.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Connelly they're running on a tight budget here. It's an operation that has to get things in and out. And the girls, who are great, and their podcast is growing. That's a separate issue.
And they have fun. They come in, they have some wine, they're always in a good mood, there's laughs, they do all of that stuff.
But you don't want them here for 4 hours.
It's not that I don't want them there, it's that when they're, so what happened was, now I can see from the cameras, I wasn't here, but they finished recording, and then they did like probably a 30-minute photo shoot in the booth.
Okay.
Right now, while they're doing that, and Dave and Kira are there, that then backlogs the social media clip. So it's not that I don't want them there, but it's
no,
just
you want work to go. But the thing
you
that
just
I want
to get yeah. record, yeah. take your shots, but take your Instagram
the
shots.
The thing
and
that
they,
I
they,
try
they
to
go.
Tell 40 minutes. Connelly though, Kev.
Gotta go.
The thing I try to tell Connelly, though, as the leader of men and women, as the leader of Action Park Media, he has to just tell them just nicely and clearly what's going on. Because I had Sarah hysterical at home crying that Connelly doesn't like her, basically. He doesn't want her around the office. I mean,
no, I did say that, like I said to Kira, I said, yo, you got to tell them that they got to go.
Yeah.
They got to go. They can't be here for 3 hours.
But it wasn't explained as to exactly what the problem is. So,
it's been explained multiple times in different versions. We've talked about light touch and heavy touch, and that's just a super heavy
touch. So everyone
understands
what that means is the light touch, which now Victory is. We come in,
which is crazy. Victory is light touch.
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes to edit it. Kevin,
come in.
I got you.
You come in, you sit down, and you go, and Kevin edits it, and boom, there we go.
But here's where the girls go now, because Kevin, I guess, I don't even know where it happened, but I have a home office where the magic doesn't usually happen because I'm a lazy bastard. But,
so they weren't allowed in the studio, so they had to do a Zoom podcast, and Doug couldn't get into his office because Sarah was recording the podcast.
but I'm like, I wake up, and look, it is a struggle for me every day. I'm like, I got to get ready to pitch Ramble On. We're going out with it in September, October. We're going to sell this motherfucker, but I got to be ready. And I got to, like, aside from just the pilot, which we all love, I got to be ready to tell people what the plan is, what the budget is.
What's episode? Episode two. What's episode three? Yeah.
So I got to work. So I got the whole weekend ready where I'm like, okay, Monday morning, there's no bullshitting. And this is what, if you ever saw Nicolas Cage's movie adaptation, you could see the real deal of what writers most go through, how torturous it is, how awful it is, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I have a plan. I go to sleep at 9 o'clock. I am like, okay, I wrote a list down for myself, which every writer, you should do this. I wrote a list. Wake up in the morning, do X, Y, and Z, all with the intention of getting into that office by a normal hour and writing stuff down. I wake up in the morning and Sarah tells me, oh, she needs the office for the Zoom. But don't worry, it's just from 9 to 11. Those are my...
they just take too long.
They're not
they
light touch,
long.
Even
they
in the home.
You just got to get in and do it. You got to get in and do it. And that's the best way to keep the podcast moving and keep it fresh. I mean, it's just insane.
But, so 9 to 11, is that... First of all, it's
a lot of time,
it
bro.
It threw me off completely, but I go...
Now, imagine, if they're doing 9 to 11 in here,
yeah.
That's 8:30 to 11:45, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, I think this, nobody can be here that long.
So, but anyway, I bit my tongue and I said, you know what? And I'm not joking.
I love it. Doug and I are on the same side on this one.
I drove to Malibu for breakfast just to waste time.
To kill a little time.
And the whole time I'm going, I can't believe, like, I haven't worked, like, really in 3 months and I just need the goddamn office. And yes, we all writers, we make any excuse we can. Could I have walked into the backyard with my laptop right. and done it? Probably. But I just had a plan. Plus, and I bought another because I lost it. The strap. The strap from Shark Tank that keeps my back straight in the chair. I had every preparation. I thought I got the Adderall ready in case I need it and I feel like I'm done.
In case the energy dips, you got the zippies.
So I'm in Malibu now and I'm timing this out perfectly so I can arrive back at 11 o'clock sharp and get in this office. Office, no excuses and do it. I come up 11 o'clock. I open the door and the office is right where the door is. And I can hear the giggles.
Like they're not even recording. Oh, they're like doing between takes shit.
They're not even like close. And when I walk up the stairs and I'm like, what's up? You'd think like she's Julie McCoy from The Love Boat. She's so excited, happy to see me. Life is so great. And I'm like, get out of my office.
Let me give you my version of that. Yeah. So Zulai parks in my parking spot, right? So I drive around. I circle around. By the way, in fact,
you're talking about this one here at Action Park.
Yeah. So when they're here, like I'm in the neighborhood and I drive around and make calls. Scotty, who won't admit this, but Scotty's another one that ducks the entertainer riffraff because Scotty and I have driven past each other driving around the block waiting for them to get out of there. Yep. So I'm watching on camera and I see that they're done recording and they're in there for 30 minutes. Did you say to Sarah, you got to understand. Did you tell her?
I told her, she understands.
She understands it now, right?
I don't think Sarah will never overstay her welcome, but she didn't understand it. She just thought, like, she was very sensitive that I don't know if we did something.
Well, Zulai's like, don't yell at me. I'm like, I didn't. Who yelled? Who's yelling? I didn't yell. I just said, you guys have to finish up in the studio. Yeah. Yelling. I'm texting it to you. Am I text yelling?
It's like the thing I stole from Trading Places, Eddie Murphy. I had Kevin Dillon do it at a party where he doesn't want anyone fucking in his apartment.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Hey, Kev, you mentioned something yesterday before you were leaving. Amy Mae Music did a little show last night.
Yeah,
in Malibu. How was
great
that?
Great concert at Christie's over by Trancas Market, where that used to be, the Trancas Market area.
We shot
she
there.
Was great.
She's awesome.
Yeah, but what do they do? They put out grass and they have like a community.
Yeah, they do Friday night concerts.
Right.
You know, throughout the whole summer, they're going to do a couple more weeks of it. It's great.
What time did it start? Was it like
probably 500 people there?
But like a nice time, the sun coming down.
The sun is setting. Right. And there was, I guess, a kind of a famous country singer that was there as well.
Right.
And then the two of them went up. They did a duet together. Nice. It was really cool.
Nice, man. That's
and
pretty
she,
cool.
You know, she kills it.
Yeah, she does.
She's so good, man.
Yeah, she is.
She really is amazing.
The wait is almost over. A new football season is about to begin. Get ready for NFL Week 1 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Want more action for opening night? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. Get up 7, you win. Bet on any NFL team of your choice, and if your team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code VICTORYPOD to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code VICTORYPOD only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All right, so we'll get into now
the
press junket, and obviously on Entourage we did scenes where you see how the press junket works. But
yeah, we did cover the press junket.
Yeah, so
which one?
I mean, we definitely had Vince and Billy Walsh up there with the monies. Isn't that a press junket?
Oh no, that was the Hollywood Foreign Press. That was the Hollywood Foreign
for
Press.
The Golden,
Golden Globe thing.
Did we do a press junket?
I don't think we did the press junket. But
never?
The press junket is where the actor earns their money. Like when you see Tom Cruise in a Japanese hibachi shop flipping, promoting Mission Impossible, like that's where you make your money. You got to go around. Yep. Kev, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. You know, back in the day, they used to do these massive world tour. Like I can remember Toby doing like the Spider-Man, and it was like these like massive, massive, massive trips. And
I did one where I did, I think it was something like 15 cities in the United States over like a 4-day period or something.
For heaven help us.
It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
Right.
Doing like two cities a day, two, three cities.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you make your money. Right?
So tell me about it. Obviously I've done them too, not nearly as much as you guys. And they are, it's a torturous process because you have to deal with 15, 20 people asking you the exact same question.
Well, that's the trick. That's the real thing. It's really always going to be this. For example, we talked about it. And when we would do Entourage, we would be like, so who's in your real life Entourage?
Yeah.
who, if you were had to pick an Entourage of historical figures, who would it be? Right. Everything
Who would your historical Entourage be?
I'm actually interested in that question. I'm sure you could find hundreds of answers of that because I've Elvis. Asked it a million times. Right?
Just to be a fly on the wall.
JFK, Elvis. Tupac, Sinatra, yeah. Tupac, Biggie,
Did you guys
Sinatra.
See the Elvis movie, by the way?
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge Elvis fan. I didn't really love the movie. I thought the guy who played Elvis was great, but I don't know. It seemed a little too fantastical to me and just unrealistic.
I'm sure that was a pretty big press junket there. Like, for example, when we did He's Just Not That Into You, and that was a big one too. And it was all, so what do you tell a girl when you're just not that into her? Have you ever broken up via text message? What's the worst way somebody, and again, it's like they come in and it's their 6 minutes, but if you watch clips, right? If you see these clips of like actors getting grouchy and you're like, oh, this guy's kind of an asshole. It's like, well, he's been sitting there for 5 days. Yeah. Answering the same questions. Like, I think Jonah Hill gets a little rough around the edges towards the end of
Jonah Hill do something during a junket? What did you tell me, with Leo or something? Didn't he do like
Well, no, I think that was a press conference. He had a fart machine. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you start to go a little bit crazy. But like Dylan said, you know, now with COVID, you know, yesterday, it's funny because Dylan comes in and bro, now I know I got Dylan's number, bro. Get him a muffin.
a hot cup
of coffee.
Yes,
and the guy will die for you. Oh. If he's got it, he will do. If the most simple thing in the world, most simple. I go to Swingers. I got him.
That's all
muffin,
I need.
Got him a cup of coffee. He came in, and it's funny because the air conditioning in Studio B is broken. Dylan's like, dude, I don't know if it's the coffee or my fucking shirt.
Well, the hot coffee, you drink a hot coffee in a hot room and you're going to start sweating.
With every interview, Dylan opens another button. By his last interview, his like shirt was open. His shirt was hanging out. Finally, I had to come clean. I'm like, Dylan, listen, it ain't the coffee and it ain't your flannel. The air conditioning in Studio B is down. So Kevin and every 6 minutes, a new person popped on. Kevin left that room 2 times. He had like running across the room piss breaks.
Yeah.
And then you went back in. Scotty and I were looking like, fuck, man, he's been in there for trying to, you know, gauge your temperature. But I went in and I did a little behind the scenes.
You crawled across the floor and started recording me.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was appropriate that we could have a record of you saying that your version of the Blob was better than that of one Steve McQueen.
But yeah.
Be confident.
Well, I wasn't saying I was better than McQueen. I was saying
our
version was better. The McQueens.
It was better.
The Chuck Russell version, who Chuck killed it.
Right.
I think it was better. I mean, the original Blob was a C movie.
50s movie,
yeah,
right?
It was one of those really bad horror movies.
Like Soylent Green.
Don't
it was like in
wrong.
The Soylent I mean, Green.
So, was the quote accurate that you said you're better looking than Steve McQueen or no?
No. And then the other thing too, like, of course I can.
Nobody's a bigger Steve McQueen fan than me.
I mean, twist Dylan's words any way I want. Dylan says, you know, sometimes you just got to pull your pants up and you know, go to work or something. And I was like,
your pants are down?
That would imply that your pants are down. So I sat in for a couple of the interviews, but again, you can always see it
I was distracted by the guy crawling around the table. I was like, what the hell is going on?
By the way,
here?
While Connolly is crawling on his knees, you thought about your pants down. Both of that is fucking weird.
I mean, he was crawling under the table.
And I want to jump on to Steve McQueen for 1 second because that's the only thing,
McQueen.
And I don't want to criticize
you wanna jump
anybody,
on Steve McQueen?
No,
that'd be weird.
Did I say
died a while
close
ago.
To that?
Died a while ago.
But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which really to me was one of the best movies in many years, but you know, he's a great actor, but the guy from Homeland Billions with Steve McQueen.
Damien. He's a good actor, though. He's a great actor, but
yeah. did you see the movie?
Yeah, I did.
Did he feel like Steve McQueen?
After a while, he did, I felt.
All right. Yeah. Bingo.
In the beginning, I'm like, well, yes. I don't know. But then after a while, I was feeling him as McQueen.
All right. He won me over.
You know what? I'm going to watch it again. And I do love the movie, and I don't want to criticize him because he's a great actor.
But the same thing happened with the guy who played Elvis.
Even though those jerks stole billions.
And after a while, he kind of really started.
He won me over as Elvis.
Yeah. His mannerisms.
You know,
dancing.
I know. I'm a fucking animal. I'm a narcissist, whatever. But like, I got a bunch of DMs where people sent young pictures, and they said they imagined imagine that that guy, I'll send you the screenshot. They said that guy looked like I looked in high school. They said screenshots.
The Elvis guy?
The Elvis guy. I guess he's a little Val Kilmer.
Well, you and Elvis are identical.
No,
bro.
Not Elvis. The guy, a picture of him. I'll put the screenshot up.
You're trying to tell me you're a cross between
Elvis.
Val Kilmer and Austin Butler?
I am not trying to.
And Elvis.
You are a pothead.
I am not trying to tell you anything.
Would you eat some edibles?
I will send you the DM.
By the way, I'm going to have Loon cut you off.
Can I say this, by the way, Dylan?
Yeah.
He's the Alky because I already sent him this picture. He goes, yeah, I guess I see it in that picture.
Well,
we already discussed
this. But come on, bro. Every time we talk about a good looking guy, you talk about how people tell you you look like him, right?
Okay, you're changing
the
narrative.
You look like a young Val Kilmer. You look like Elvis and Iceman.
You're changing the narrative. I'm not saying that I'm as good looking as either of these men. There's a similarity, whatever.
What you're saying is you're better looking than these guys.
I am happy to welcome an amazing new sponsor to the show. I'm talking about Sheath Underwear. Have you or your friends had trouble finding comfortable underwear? Underwear that is focused on your comfort with no chafing, no sticking, no drama, and designed so that everything fits exactly where it should, if you know what I mean. If yes, then you have to try Sheath Underwear. It all starts with Sheath's dual pouch system, a concept that was developed by the company's founder after enduring a summer in Iraq. Day after day of triple digit heat and unbearable chafing and discomfort. Founder and CEO Robert Patton felt there had to be a better way, and now there is. When I first saw it, I thought this is genius. My friends tell me, all you do is put them on and gravity handles the rest. The dual pouch comfortably cradles you just like a hammock for your family jewels. And don't forget to check out our newest additions, the Bamboo V and the Mesh Boxer Brief. That means added comfort, added performance, added mobility. It's a whole new world of comfort and performance, and Sheath Underwear is all about supporting shows like ours and supporting free speech. So make sure to give Sheath Underwear a try. Go to sheathunderwear.com now and use the promo code VICTORY to receive 20% off today. That's sheathunderwear.com today and use the promo code VICTORY for 20% off.
Dylan, you hung in there. And again, you start to see the pattern, right? So, you know, Dylan does this movie. It's called Wire Room and it's with Bruce Willis. That's the kind of the elephant in the room. Now, Kev, when you're doing a press junket, are the things that, because the Lionsgate publicist was in there with you, she was wearing a mask. So I was trying to get sound bites from her, but she was a little muffled. We'll see how that plays out. But are there things that you're prepared for? Like,
well, you know, I watched the movie the night before at 2:00 in the morning. So I was exhausted when I came in, but the movie's good.
Right.
One of the movies we shot in 7 days. I can't believe how amazing this movie turned out. It really did.
Why? I want to ask you this question, which this is not my question is why say it's 7 days anyway? I mean, it's the movie stands on its own. It's a fucking good movie.
I know. Maybe I shouldn't say
I was thinking it. I was thinking it.
You know why I say it? Because I'm so proud of what we did in 7 days. But you're probably right.
Because the audience, they just want to know if it's good. They don't want excuses. They don't want, oh, wow, I can't believe they just want to.
You know what? You're probably right, Doug. I just.
Yeah, you're.
You can't believe
right. that we accomplished what we did in 7 days.
In 7 days.
So,
I'm psyched to see it. When is it out?
That's September 2nd. It'll be available, and it'll be right around. By the way, it'll be available when we're listening to this episode. But Kev, what I'm saying is, do they give you some direction from publicity?
They did. I got this. A bunch of notes here, which I didn't read. I said, I'm just going to wing it, man.
Right, but is it saying that list about stay away from 7 days?
They got a whole bunch of stuff here that I did not read. But, to be honest with you, the director killed it.
Right.
Matt Escandari, awesome, did an amazing job. Oliver Trevina, who's a friend of yours, Doug.
Yep. Friend of mine as well.
He's great.
I think I'm better.
Me and Oliver had a lot of great stuff together. And to be honest with you, it was all over the phone, but we still had chemistry together.
Yeah. I'm psyched to see it. So give us just a quick, I feel like I'm one of the press junket guys.
Yeah, I've been through all this, but
this guy's
first day at work. He's in a wire room, which is a room where you're spying on other people, where you're listening on their conversations and, it's FBI, CIA kind of thing. And this guy is told, nothing's going to happen. Usually it's pretty boring stuff, sitting around listening to what's going on in the house. They leave him alone and all hell breaks loose and his day gets really crazy.
All right.
And it's really good.
How do we see it?
It's available in theaters. On all digital platforms, and you can see it wherever you want.
Yeah.
All right, I'm excited to see it.
And then, Kev, how many times?
It's good, dude.
Did you get the question multiple times? So if there was a wire room, if you could listen to one wire room with people, did they ask you that?
You know what? I didn't get that one.
You didn't get that one?
No, I didn't.
You have a good creative.
Probably listen in on your fucking house, that's for sure.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to go to this little, it's almost reminiscent of Welcome to the Jungle, which we covered last week on Entourage. Just a little behind the scenes of the press junket with Kevin Dillon performing at a high level. But before we go, been working on some stuff. We got deals.
Deals.
Yeah, got deals. Deals. We're going to do a little DraftKings sportbook segment.
Oh,
here.
Finally.
Victory.
Nice. Some man talk over here. Sorry.
That's it. So,
some sports talk, not man talk. Sorry.
So, we got the week one matchups coming up. And, fellas, I'm going to ask you to leave your personal, let's not make bets with our.
Don't bet with your heart.
Let's bet with our heads.
I never bet with my heart.
I'm not going to lie. I bet with my heart a little bit.
You do.
Right. Yeah. Dylan wears it on his sleeve.
No. I mean, in this case, I did a little bit. See, are we going to give our
yeah,
our,
we're going to.
Okay.
We're gonna
so I did this time around just because.
Right. Okay. So we're going to make two picks. We're going to do a same game parlay and we're going to do a straight parlay bet.
And you're talking to a fantasy football champion last year, just so you know.
Right, but you're not really a fantasy football champion. I mean, yours was on DraftKings too, right? Your league was DraftKings.
What do you mean? Why wasn't
Because you hire a guy that really knows what he does.
I don't hire him. It's one of my best friends. He just
he's got like a partner that really knows. So David Doug just Lee, like,
what, you say Doug doesn't know his football?
No, he does. That's the other thing too. He doesn't need a guy.
No,
Doug knows football plenty.
But this guy, listen, when you really want to dive in, which I wish I had the energy for it, he dives in and he studies everything. And he's every year we're like in the top couple, but Venner makes fun of me too. That I'm like kind of I'm kind of upper management that's not really getting hands on it, but I won anyway. You don't have to take my trophy from me.
So the DraftKings Sportsbook app, right? So they got some cool parlay bets that I'd like to chat about. All right.
Okay, yep.
So I'll start, right? We're making two picks here, right? And this is my pick. And of course, it sounds like I'm betting with my heart and not with my head.
Oh, you're betting on the Dolphins?
I like the Dolphins.
Yeah,
well, I just
that's a mistake.
That's betting with your heart, right?
No, it's not. The Dolphins at home. I think the Dolphins win the game outright, but I don't think
it's
going
to. Who does
the
Dolphins have again?
The Patriots. Wow. He's out of his mind.
They got Tariq Hill.
Oh, you're saying who's on their team?
No. Who are they playing? The Patriots.
You're getting
smoked on that one.
Okay, well, not at home.
I should take that one against.
No, we're not getting smoked at home. So I'm going Dolphins. I'm taking the Dolphins, and I'm going to go under 45 for my same game parlay.
Okay, so you missed out on that, but that's what we're doing right now. Same game parlay.
First one that we're doing is the same game
parlay. And our things are, we have no points. We have an even money line on the game and then the under or over, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's for the same game parlay.
I almost want to go against you on that one, but I see a better game. I see a better game, but I don't believe in Tua at all. That's just me.
Okay. Well,
so whatever it's worth. But I'm going, and this is not with my heart at all because I'm a Giants fan, but I believe, even though I think the big worry for me with the Rams this season, besides Odell Hurt, is Whitworth retiring. But you know,
you going Bills?
What? I'm going Rams.
Oh, you're going Rams.
Oh,
okay.
I'm going Rams. I think the Rams are going to be great. I think your doppelganger, Sean McVay, is poised to become a Hall of Fame coach right now. I really do.
That's a scary bet. I'm surprised you're going anywhere near that.
And by
bet.
The way, I don't want to take anything from Josh Allen, who I think is just insane.
Bills are going to be tough.
But the Rams at home for the opening, coming off a Super Bowl win, what are we talking about here in the lines? I mean, they're getting points. I don't even know what's happening.
So you're taking the Rams over the Bills, and are you taking the over?
I'm taking the over, too, because I think Stafford's going to have a big year. I think Josh Allen's going to have a huge year, but that's what I'm going with, and I feel very
good. Doug Ellen, Rams to the over?
Yeah.
All right, Dylan, who do you got? Who do you got as your second?
I know it's going to sound like my heart, too, but I'm going to take the Giants and the point, right? I'm taking the points.
Right, so you're taking, you got the Giants.
You got 6 points?
No, Giants just have to win, but your odds are better. Right,
because well, that's if heavy. I take the if no, I take that, the under,
but in the same game parlay, I mean, it's just your Giants got to win the game,
okay.
but it, there's right. bigger upside.
Yeah.
So you're taking the Giants to win, and you're going under.
And I like the under. Well, the under was
it should be right there in that yellow
40, I think.
What, 44?
45?
Going
44.
Giants to win under 44. By the way,
against Tennessee.
By the way, that would be a nice payout.
Yeah, I'll take it.
If they win, that'd be a nice payout, and that would lead us to our straight parlay bets.
Three team parlay.
Okay. I'm gonna go Dolphins. I'm doing.
Of course, there goes the heart again.
Well, because I think
he actually believes he's not going with his.
Well, you'll see. I'm not going.
Of course, we'll see.
I'm not going.
What are we gonna see?
So I'm gonna take the Dolphins at home -2.5. I just like them. I do. I'm taking Green Bay -2, and I like the Raiders +3.5.
I think that's 1.5 to Green Bay.
Green Bay is -2.
So Connolly, can you remember when we hung out with Bill Belichick before the
Super Bowl.
I
remember
Super Bowl. Yeah,
before we have a great picture.
That was great.
We have a great picture with Bill.
He was so cool.
By the way, but I think he, you know, because he lost to the Giants that year, and I think he was part of him. I think was mad that he went to that party. We were at a party the day before. Now he wasn't.
He popped
partying.
In with zero personality. And
let's not make fun of Belichick. Easy.
Doug, who do you got
he
on
was
your?
Cool.
Who do you got
I,
on
I
your?
I can't talk about Bill for a second. Wait,
who do you got on your straight parlay bets?
I'm going to give you who I got. DraftKings, but anyway, we did have some effect on the Giants winning that Super Bowl because we got Bill to this party.
Okay,
and,
who are your picks? Who do you like?
He doesn't like my side chat. I think the DraftKings people will like it. I like the Patriots with no heart. I think he's still the best coach in the league. I think they are coming together this year and they're going to make a Super Bowl run. That's what I believe.
So you're taking the Patriots plus
on
two
the
and
road
half.
That's right.
Plus okay. Two. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm taking the Rams plus 2.5, which I still don't understand. I'm hoping this is right at home. They're getting 2.5.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah,
they're only the Super Bowl champs, don't worry about that. And then I am going a little with my heart on this one. I'm going with the Giants. I'm hoping for a big season and I'll take the 5.5.
Yeah,
and,
I mean with 5.5,
yeah, I'll take that. So
by the way, that'd be a good payout. Those are good bets. Yeah.
I'm right, also Dylan. Taking the Giants with the 5.5. I like the Bucs, and I like the over because I think Tom Brady's going to air it out. It's the 50. It's the over is 50, and I like Green Bay. But why did you put down just the 1.5?
That's what it is.
Two for you though. Green Bay, you said plus two.
I thought it was. Right. I might.
I like Green Bay in that situation, but
Green Bay with the points.
Yeah.
So you're taking. Read them back one more time. I got
Giants 5.5, Bucks with the over, Green Bay 1.5.
1.5.
Are we allowed a sidebar, or we just want to go straight? I mean, like, what's the segment? I just want to, like, does anyone think it's crazy that I still believe Tom Brady is going to be one of the top quarterbacks?
Dylan thinks he's going to put on an aerial show. Dylan's taking the over 50.
Oh, Tom Brady's still going
to
be
at
amazing.
Some point, like, do you remember Peyton Manning? He broke the record for touchdowns, and the next year, even though they won the Super Bowl, he could barely throw 10 yards. Like, yeah. Will this ever happen to Brady? Because I actually believe Brady is going to have another amazing season.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was watching him throw the ball. He still looks just so strong. His arm looks powerful.
He's poised to have a big year.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great.
I hope they do, and I mean, I'm looking forward to it. And I hope
we're on the record with our picks.
Yeah, all right.
DraftKings Sportsbook. And to do that, you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code, you ready? VictoryPod. To get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game.
Wow.
All right?
Excellent.
DraftKings Sportsbook app, and don't forget the promo code VictoryPod.
Victory.
Let's start firing. Let's fire this year. Let's make some bets.
I need the money.
All right. We're taking a break, and then we're going to come back with our little behind the scenes of Kevin Dillon and promoting Wire Room. All right, welcome back to Victory the Podcast. I'm Kevin Connolly on a side mission here for Victory the Podcast. We're doing it rogue, a little independent style. We're recording. Today is what you would call, for actors out there, when you do a movie, you do a junket day. You get locked up in a room, and nowadays a lot of it is Zoom, and you do, I don't know, it could be anywhere from 15 to 20 Zooms with different outlets. Promoting your movie, you hit as many places as you can. I personally think it's underrated. It's a tough part of an actor's job, but we have a back seat or a front row seat rather for Kevin Dillon's. Actually, right now I'm looking at him through a window. You know, I don't want him to see me because I don't want to distract him. But he is doing his press junket for the movie, and he looks lean and mean. He's on fire right now. He's making a reporter laugh. He's got his coffee. He's got his muffin, and he's got the Lionsgate publicist in there who I am trying to lock down for an interview. So we'll see how that happens. And as soon as Dylan wraps up this interview with, I believe I heard that he might be getting interviewed by Aaron Andrews. So, we're going to have Dylan sit down to talk about what the press junket day is like. And how long does it take? For me personally, it always took a lot out of me. And we're going to get the Lionsgate publicist to sit down and talk to us about her job. And a little insight into the junket day. All right, I'm standing outside the studio right now, and I'm just going to make a break for it.
Start recording things in Spanish.
How you doing, guys? Victory the Podcast here. We're going to, Kev, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's going pretty good. I'm about to do a Spanish interview. I wish, Hi, Denise. How you doing?
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
I have had a great time. It's definitely a ride.
It's fun, right?
It has you at the edge of the seat. Can you tell our audience about your character?
Yeah, my character is Justin Rosa, and he's got his first day on the job, and nobody really tells him what to do. You know, Bruce's character is like, I got to go, I got plans, but just don't screw anything up. And of course, my character screws up everything. He's a little bit of a, you know, he messes up the job a little bit, but he makes right in the end. But he's just pulling his hair out the whole time, like, oh my God, how does this happen to me?
I love your character because, I mean, we see you online and we see you're such a funny guy, right? And I think in this movie, you're able to kind of explore that in a weird kind of way.
Yeah, thank you.
What is something that you really enjoyed about making this film? Something that really brought out the fun in the whole dynamic of this?
Well, like you said, I was, you know, I like to add humor wherever I can, and it really wasn't in the script. So I wanted to make him funny and have him just like going, oh my God, how could this happen to me? And so I tried to add as much humor as I could, but the script was great from the get-go. Big plus, I had Bruce Willis, who's a legend and one of my favorite actors of all time. So to work with him was great. Yeah, it was just, it was a lot of fun. We shot the movie in 7 days. So it was hard work, a lot of studying. Yeah.
7 days?
7 days. And it looks amazing. I mean, you saw it. For a movie to be shot in 7 days and look that good is unbelievable. And the acting is great. The script is great.
Well, one of the questions I also had, you mentioned working with Bruce. You know, we know he's been going through a lot. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that you really took out of working with him, you know, considering the situation that he's currently going through?
Yeah, well, this is the second time I worked with him, but the first time I didn't have any real scenes with him. So, you know what? Bruce is just a great guy, and you could feel that, and he really pulled it off, too. He could still get it done. You know, I know he's decided to retire from the business, but I have to say, he still got it. You know, whether he stays retired, I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but I love him, and it was a real honor to work with him.
I think those types of celebrities and actors that have been in the industry for so long, like you said, they really leave such a legacy, and I'm really excited to see him in this film and obviously excited to see you. Yeah. And I know people are going to find so many relatable things in the movie because we all go through what it seems like, right? Like, you think it can get worse.
Yeah.
Gets
yeah. If you think your first day at work was tough, wait till you see this first day at work. Support this movie. It's amazing. It's called Wire Room. Go check it out. You're going to have a good time. It's funny. It's got good action and great acting.
When you do these press junkets, it's a lot of times the same question. Now that gal felt like she stepped outside the box.
She did. Bit, right? She did. She did.
And
she
was great. Other than you saying that you pull your pants up, which would imply that your pants was down.
I mean, you know,
weird.
When you drug it through the mud, you know, you pull up your pants. I don't know about your pants. What do you call them. Your
hike them.
You hike up your pants and you put your big boy pants on. Hey, Gig.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, congratulations for Wire Room.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Did you see it?
I did see it.
Yeah, I saw it last night for the first time. It was great. I loved it.
Wow, I know. You're on this action kick right now.
Yeah.
What initially attracted you to something like Wire Room?
Well, the script was really good. And that was number one. It's got to be on the page. But number two was Bruce Willis, you know, the legend. To get to work with Bruce for the second time. The first time, I didn't actually have any scenes with him. So this time I did, and, you know, he's one of my favorite actors, and I love the guy, so it was great to work with him.
I know. It is one of those special moments, especially knowing that it's one of his last scenes or last movies.
Yes.
In his career.
Yes, and at the time, I didn't know that he was going to retire, but, yeah, I mean, just to work with him is so great. And I did one with Mel Gibson recently, so I'm working with these great actors. John Travolta and Dennis Quaid. I've been really lucky over this last year and a half or so.
Absolutely. Well, I love that movie. And thank you very much, Kevin, for talking to me about various things, including The Wire Room.
You
appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. You got it.
Well, see, there you go. So that's two interviews. That guy was pretty good. That guy's fan of the Blob. Again, we're going to do exit interviews when these guys are finished with the rest of their junket. We'll be out here. Camilla, you will be joining us to talk about the art of the press junket. And lastly, I'm pretty sure, and we do have proof, that Kevin Dillon just said he was better than Steve McQueen. I'll let that slide.
I said our movie was better.
Yeah. Yeah.
The movie was better.
Steve McQueen. Now, listen, you could, bro, go big or go home. You are Steve McQueen. You are my Steve McQueen, Kevin Dillon. All right, we're leaving them. We're going to come back. We're going to get exit interviews, but you'll see the two that they did, are different and the same. It's going to be Bruce Willis questions and whatnot. All right, we'll be back with exit interviews.
You know, I knew nothing about wire rooms beforehand. I didn't even know they existed, but I didn't have a lot of time to prep on it. But they do, just for anyone out there, a wire room is when if the CIA or the FBI has to have wires in certain rooms, they spy on people. They record it all in a room. And that's what my character finds himself doing, wire room duty. It's his first day and things get crazy.
They sure do.
Real crazy.
How would you describe your character and your approach to playing him?
You know, I look at my character, Justin, as like, he's a screw up. You know, he used to work with the CIA, with the Secret Service, and it's backstory. It's not in the script, but I like to think that, you know, he screwed up because he doesn't listen. He won't listen to what they tell him to do. And I believe he got let go. And that's why he's stuck working in a wire room, which is kind of like a demotion in a way. And he, once again, doesn't listen to Bruce, and he gets in trouble again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of your scenes in the film, you're acting alone or acting on the phone. And I'm curious, like, what are the challenges for you as an actor when you don't have another actor to perform off of?
Yeah, it's tough. It really is. Because, you know, you're looking at screens and you're seeing all this action that's not there. It's a blank screen. So you got to use your imagination a little bit. I was lucky to have Oliver Trevina come in and run lines with me. So we were able to kind of build up a little chemistry, even though we weren't on film together. I thought he did a great job. I thought we had some chemistry, and it was definitely challenging to do a movie like this. We did it in 7 days, and we did my stuff in 5 days. So, I mean, it's unbelievable what we got done in that time period.
Kevin, I'm shocked. I can't believe you just said that. Like, is that the fastest production you've ever worked on?
Well, I did a 7-day movie with the same production company, called Hot Seat. And that was amazing that we did that. And these guys know how to get it done, and they knew I could get it done, so they brought me in on this one. So it's a real challenge, and I actually like stepping up to it. And, you know, you got to really be on your game. I love, by the way, Kevin Connelly is on the floor right now holding a mic. I love when you do this. This is like when we did Ramble On, and when you're doing the behind the scenes at Ramble On. I love when you do that. Yeah, it's really cool.